Here you show the adverse events, you document what the substance is, and if that is, quote, approved, then it is being sold under regulatory conditions, like not to people below the age of 18, sold in adult shops, and so on. That's what we call regulated market. And people, actually, from the 2,000 and so substances that were circulating in New Zealand...
We have 20 seconds. We have 20 seconds to go.
Yeah, people are now using around 200, which means that people want to use stuff that they know what it contains. Heroin is different. Heroin, to me, can be a medicine for some of the people who are addicted to heroin and cannot use anything else and are strictly dependent on the high-quality product that we as doctors should be able to provide to people in need.
You're meeting with Ban Ki-moon today. We'll talk about that in a post-show and put it online at democracynow.org. Dr. Michelle Kazatchkine, thanks so much for being with us, member of the Global Commission on Drug Policy, UN Secretary General, Special Envoy on HIV/AIDS in Eastern Europe. And thanks so much to Ethan Nadelman, founder and executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Masood, Ravi Karan, Dina Kester, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio with our host, S.W. Conser. Today, we'll have the third installment of our Know Your Candidates for the KBOO Board of Directors meme with candidates Jimmy Tardy and Kathleen O'Brien. Do call in with your KBOO questions.
Come one, come all to the KBOO Community Radio Book and Record Sale, Sunday, September 14th, from 9 a.m., when the KBOO members only are allowed during the first hour of the sale, and then from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m., everyone can take advantage of truly interesting and unusual books, records, CDs, tapes, videos, DVDs, whatever else has been donated. The sale will take place this year at the Volunteers of America building, 537 Southeast Alder in Portland. Remember, all sales benefit your community radio station. For more information about the annual book and record sale, look at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. And don't forget to tune in to KBOO Friday night at midnight for the Broken Record Show, an offbeat sound patchwork composed entirely from items for the sale and served up by various KBOO disc jockeys and voices. That's the Broken Record Show, Friday night, September 12th from midnight till 3 a.m. on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Triple Divide, fracking documentary on Friday, September 12th at 7 p.m. Triple Divide, directed by Public Herald investigative journalist Joshua Prabanek and Melissa Troutman, deconstructs the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection's handling of shale gas development through fracking and will uncover how DEP and the industry have handled violations within Pennsylvania's highest classified watersheds, what happened in the 2011 Bradford County blowout, water contamination complaints, health issues, and the split estate landowner dispute. Triple Divide, fracking documentary will be showing at the First Unitarian Church in the Elliott Chapel, located at Southwest 12th and Salmon Street in Portland. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, and accessories with a focus on natural fibers since 1984. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and at GazelleNaturalFiberClothing.com.
Good morning.
Good morning, KBOO listeners. I'm SW Conser, and thanks for joining us this morning. We are conducting forums for all the candidates for the KBOO Board of Directors this week. If you've been tuning in, you'll have heard from a couple of other people on Monday and Tuesday. We're going to be continuing Friday. We've already heard from Raoul Van Hall and Jason Prettyboy, Jesse Sponberg, and Sequoyah Wright. On Friday, I believe we'll be hearing from Benjamin Magoon and also Melissa Parsons. Today, we are delighted to be joined in the studio by Kathleen O'Brien and Jimmy Tardy, who are two of the candidates for the Board of Directors. And we'll be inviting you today to call in with your questions, particularly if you're KBOO members. And the number to call in is 503-231-8032. Let's welcome both of our candidates for the Board of Directors this morning. Start with Kathleen O'Brien. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thanks, SW. How are you?
Good this morning. And we're also joined by Jimmy Tardy. Hi, Jimmy.
Morning, Conch.
So let's start with a little bit of a candidate statement, but I'm going to read some information first. We want to let everybody know out there that KBOO's annual membership meeting is coming up on Saturday, September 20th. It's going to be held from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Lotus Seed. That's located at 6 Northeast Tillamook, the corner of Williams and Tillamook. If you are a member and have not received a ballot, please call Sun Lee. You're going to want to do that this week at 503-231-8032. That's extension 207. You can also email Sun at membership@kboo.org. I want to let you know ballots should be mailed by this Saturday and can be dropped off at the ballot box at the station here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Thursday at the latest, and you may cast your ballot at the annual meeting until 2 p.m. All right, that's out of the way. Kathleen, welcome again. Welcome. And we want to hear from you about yourself, a little bit of your vision for KBOO, and give a little bit of your candidate statement here.
Well, thanks, SW. I should call you Conch.
That's fine. Either way.
All right. I am a long-term Portlander. I moved to Oregon when I was 17 and have lived here since then. My vision for KBOO is to support nonprofit community radio. I think it's essential to Portland, Oregon, to the nation, to thrive as a non-commercial, listener-supported community radio station. I think the reason KBOO is essential is because it is a role model for cooperative, community-based gathering of people to advance the progressive agenda, socialist agenda, whatever it is that Portlanders choose for themselves who are the KBOO supporters. The reason that's important is because it's a role model for free-thinking people, intelligent, informed, motivated people who happen to have been drawn to Portland. We are here because we want freedom from religion, freedom from government, freedom from advertising, freedom from corruption. We are the type of people who want to be free to travel and to be exposed to other cultures, the diversity of the entire world. I think music is one of the most important forms of communication. You know, words are basically limited. Words are a paradigm that is an overlay on reality. It is not reality. So even though I'm very word-based in my training and my experience, I also have the great honor to be the parent of a nonverbal person who is greatly loving and loved. And so from that, I've drawn the conclusion, and I think it's correct, that words are simply an overlay on consciousness, an overlay on reality and not reality itself. Anyway, that's a lot of who I am.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Jimmy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here, and thank you for our listeners and their support that have been able to make it possible for me to be part of KBOO for the past 3 years now. I've found a niche here, and like I said in my written statement that we sent out a couple of weeks ago that hopefully people got in the mail so that you can read along, you know, the thing about KBOO is that we're, like I said in my statement, we're part of this community. We're a necessary part of this community. When you find progressive success happening just about anywhere, you find a medium for a conversation to take place within that community. And KBOO has, of course, for over 45 years now, been providing that medium for people to hold those conversations, to share their perspectives, their ideas. Nothing moves forward without that conversation, and we've been able to be a steady part of that for a long time now. And the reality of Portland shows that success and shows what KBOO's been able to provide. So having benefited from it in a variety of ways, I'm honored and glad to be able to talk to you today about why I'd like to be part of the board.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. And again, we're going to invite callers, especially KBOO members, to call in at 503-231-8187 with their questions for the candidates. That's 503-231-8187. And I'm going to start with a question. We're going to switch things up, mix things back and forth. I'll start with Jimmy on this one. So the role of the board of directors is to deal with policy and finance and to serve as ambassadors for the KBOO Foundation, to listeners, to members, to the broader community. So what talents and strengths would you bring to the KBOO Foundation's board of directors?
Whoa, that is a broad question right there. So we serve as ambassadors to the community, and I think a significant part of the board's role is serving the community sort of in a background mode. The board is involved in everything that goes on at KBOO. I see board members here regularly. You yourself are an, I understand, outgoing and outgoing board member. I understand that your term is expiring and you're going to move on to other things. But my point is that I see you around the station all the time. And, you know, one of the important roles that the board plays is to just have a sense of the pulse of the station, what's going on here, sort of serve as our ombudsman, since we don't really have one at this point, making sure that we're staying true to our stated values, performing our mission in, like we say, we like to shoot for spontaneity and excellence. And that's actually a very difficult dynamic to shoot for. And if you're going to try and hit that spot, then somebody needs to be sitting back sort of in a meta role and watching everything that's going on and understanding strategically what's happening. And it's that strategic viewpoint that I think I can bring to the station in a little bit more of a direct manner.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. So same question, Kathleen. So what talents and strengths would you bring to the KBOO Foundation's board of directors?
Well, I have some experience in theater and acting. I have a lot of experience in the legal community here in Portland, so I know several of the players there, or I'm able to speak to that that diverse crowd. I have been active as a board member in the past for Oregon Women Lawyers, for instance, and that's one of the main constituencies of sharp, thinking, progressive women in our community who need to be brought to the fore and probably brought into the KBOO community to the full extent possible. I also have served on with the disabled community. I have a role on the PAMI Council, which is a mandated advisory council to Disability Rights Oregon. The PAMI acronym is Protection and Advocacy for Individuals with Mental Illness, but having just returned from a three-day conference on the protection and advocacy system, I think the term mental illness is disfavored now. We're trying to move away from that type of labeling and just more characterize those issues as distress. So there's a lot that goes along with that, just the whole negating of big pharma, because there's some belief in the mind freedom community that big pharma has created distress simply because they want to push their psychiatric drugs on the people, and that the diagnoses of bipolar and depression and so on are basically just a false paradigm designed to convince people to buy drug products. So anyway, so I have that orientation that I would like to help people of every character in our community, you know, succeed in their life and succeed in their quest for personal happiness.
Thank you, Kathleen. And while we're waiting for callers, and again, the number is 503-231-8187, I'll shoot you this question, which is one that we like to ask of all of our candidates. Could you tell us about who or what inspired you to become involved in community radio?
Well, thanks, Conch. The actual genesis of me seeking a position on the board of directors is that I was here for a candidate interview, and it was brought to my attention by someone here at the station that there weren't enough people applying for the job. And I was very attracted to that because I have some family history background in radio. I worked in campus radio in college at Oregon State, and when I was trying to get out of law practice, I was a producer and an engineer of short story programs for something we called Mini Mom. They were 3 to 5 minute children's stories, professionally produced here in Portland with professional talent that we tried to distribute nationally. And of course, we didn't have the budget to do that, but those are product that I come with, and it would be an asset to this community. Just again, I think it's important as a woman, as a mom, you know, you want to help women, help children, help the educators have tools to alleviate the distress of children, because they are our future, and children and the people who move them forward in their lives need tools. We need breaks. We need to know how to respond to the situation of a child without becoming abusive or neglectful, in the same way that we all need to treat each other with respect and with compassion and with gentle perseverance and space.
Thank you, Kathleen. Jimmy, tell us about who or what inspired you to become involved in community radio.
Well, I have to be honest that I was completely unaware of the notion of community radio before I came to Portland. I grew up in Alabama, and there is no community radio going on in Alabama. There's public radio. And that model doesn't really do much for me. I admire their polish. I admire their professionalism. But as far as their content and their willingness to really put themselves out there, I just don't see it. Maybe it's there and I miss it, but I don't see it. And my initial exposure to KBOO came from the Occupy Portland encampment, and there was KBOO there every day, and things just kind of moved forward from that. And I was impressed that this radio station thought enough of what was going on down there to set up a tent and keep it manned and broadcast 24/7 for the entirety of the encampment. And that's really where it all started. I'm impressed with what I've seen on the ground, in reality, in the moment, that was spontaneous and shooting for excellence. Like I said before, I think that's a really good kind of framework.
Well, you know, with that in mind, I think this is a good follow-up question here. Start with Jimmy on this one. The KBOO Foundation Board of Directors consists of 12 members, and if you are elected, you'll be called upon to work closely in a collaborative fashion with the other board members. So can you give an example where you worked towards a decision in a collaborative manner in a group setting?
I have a number of examples I could give of that. One of the things that I do, well, I guess how I earn my living is working on exactly that model. I fashion myself as a life coach, even though once upon a time I thought that title was hilarious. But as it turns out, that's what I've become, and I've actually become kind of proud of it. And in the setting that I work in, I work with groups of people to work collaboratively to decide what we're going to pursue together on a very in the moment, very real type of setting. We access the community, we volunteer with things together, we socialize together, and we learn a lot of skills that people that I work with kind of need to work on. So I do that on a day-to-day basis, and I really enjoy what I get from that and the reinforcement that I get of the importance of a collaborative model daily. Not only does it pay my bills, but it actually rewards me in many other ways. And then, you know, the Occupy experience was about collaboration, and it was difficult because it started from the ground up, but it was an opportunity to experience the power and the magic almost of buy-in. And working in a collaborative model is really, you know, it's consensus and it's about buy-in. It's about getting people to agree with where the group is moving as a group so that they will voluntarily and with joy invest their energy in what's happening. And the symbiosis of that type of approach results in things that you can't even imagine when you go into it. So I have a lot of experience with collaboration. I enjoy it. I understand it's difficult, but I'm also a very patient person, and I know that the payoff is worth the effort.
Thank you, Jimmy. So same question to Kathleen. Can you give an example where you worked towards a decision in a collaborative manner in a group setting?
Yes, thanks. I agree with Jimmy's comments completely. And I think collaboration is the way toward decision making. You know, there's two models. There's the someone tells you, you know, the George W. Bush, I'm the decider model, or the group think collaborative model where everyone has a stake in the outcome and nobody is left out and everyone takes ownership of the decision. So clearly collaborative decision making is the way to go. When I had the role of program director for the Mental Health Association of Oregon, it was an organization that had existed in our community for, 80 years, but had fallen in away from standing on its own. And so the Oregon Advocacy Center took it in, and it became a program of Oregon Advocacy Center, who I worked for. And in that group, which was comprised of principally mental health consumers or people who were previously psychiatrized or in mental health hospitals, that's a group of people that I don't want to characterize this as any different from any other group, but those are people who are extremely patient and who have sometimes very high sensitivity to being bullied. And so it was essential to sort of lower the temperature and listen to all points of view and have, I was the director, so I had a role to try to draw in the voices. But I found that these were people who were much more experienced than I was at giving voice to their own decision. And so I watched how it came about. And one of the things that happened that year was that we had a grant from an estate where the funding for the Mental Health Association of Oregon became sufficient that the organization could fledge away from Oregon Advocacy Center and stand on its own feet. So the decision was made as a group what to do, how to organize, and I would say that I enjoyed learning from that experience how collaborative decision making takes place. In my professional work in Portland, I've seen so many mediations that are a much clearer and happier outcome for litigants than going into a litigation experience. And I've been a part of that countless times. And I agree with the model.
Thank you, Kathleen. I'm SW Counselor. I am your host this morning on Morning Talk Radio. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We are talking with two of the candidates for KBOO's Board of Directors. This morning, we're talking with Jimmy Tardy and Kathleen O'Brien. If you've been tuning in earlier this week, you've also heard from Raoul Van Hall, Jason Prettyboy, Jesse Sponberg, and Sequoyna Wright. Friday, if you tune in, Benjamin Magoon and Melissa Parsons are due to join us. And these are all folks on the ballot. If you are a KBOO member, you should have received a ballot in the mail. If you have not, please call Sun Lee during business hours here at KBOO. His number is 503-231-8032, extension 207. You can also email Sun. The email address is membership@kboo.org. Speaking of phone numbers, we would love listeners to call in with questions for the board candidates this morning. The number to call in the studio is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. And of course, I should let you know about the annual membership meeting. KBOO's annual membership meeting will be held a week from Saturday, September 20th. That's from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Lotus Seed. That's located at 6 Northeast Tillamook on the corner of Williams and Tillamook. Ballots should be mailed by this Saturday. They could be dropped off at the ballot box at the station here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue during business hours, no later than next Thursday. You may also cast your ballot at the annual meeting until 2 o'clock. So we're going to talk again with Kathleen and Jimmy in just a moment, but coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 o'clock on Political Perspectives, we hear from Jesse Sponberg, Teresa Rayford, Katrina Calhoun, and Ben Glass, all with Don't Shoot Portland, about justice for Mike Brown, the end of police and extrajudicial killings everywhere, and ending systemic violence upon communities of color. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, the grieving family of 18-year-old Yanira Serrano Garcia speak out about the gunning down and killing of their disabled daughter by San Mateo sheriffs. Also, a mini-documentary on the community's response to the killing. And at 11 on The Dirt Bag, host Glenn Andreessen welcomes back John Saltvite, master grafter of fruit trees and major garden experimenter. They will discuss food fermentation and eating weeds. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support and for your community radio station. If you are not a KBOO member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And folks, we're hoping that you'll call in at 503-231-8187. We are in the studio with Jimmy Tardy and Kathleen O'Brien today, talking about their vision for the KBOO Board of Directors. They are both two of the candidates on the ballot today. And we want to ask another question, starting with Kathleen. Kathleen, what do you feel is the most important challenge facing KBOO in 2014 and onward?
The most important challenge is bringing more people into this community. We're living in a time where the print media are fading, and the television media is becoming increasingly irrelevant. I mean, I personally haven't had television service since they ended free TV back about 5 years ago. And when I do watch TV, I'm increasingly disappointed with content, and it's a waste of time. So we've re-diverted ourselves into social media, which also has many shortcomings. I mean, Facebook is sort of poisonous in some ways these days, but Twitter is encouraging, and democratic. And I think, you know, younger people in particular are in love with their personal communication devices. I am the same. I've got my phone with me here. It's just a compendium of everything important to me, including my phone and the internet, and my contacts and email. Where KBOO's biggest challenge lies, probably, based on keeping my ear to the ground here, is that we need to become better active as social media participants, and to encourage that, the development of that resource, and to become part of that conversation. And it's a two-way street. I also want to bring in those people into the radio world.
Thank you, Kathleen. So, Jimmy, what do you feel is the most important challenge facing KBOO in 2014 right now?
Well, there's a lot that I would say that would parallel what Kathleen mentioned and that I've heard candidates mention on previous mornings this week. And I think I would take a little bit of a step back from how I've heard it phrased, and I would say that in my candidate statement, I said that basically my main goal is to just increase our audience and to make what we offer part of more people's media habit. And I use that phrase because it sort of, for me, outlines where we are today in the media world. And what I see happening is that there's a lot of options for people to choose from nowadays, a lot more than there used to be. And that serves as a challenge for us because it's really easy for someone to tune away if whatever they hear isn't compelling enough for them, doesn't provide any relevance to their lives, and also if it's not delivered with some elegance and some excellence. If you make a mistake, technically speaking, while you're doing a broadcast, you could lose a listener right there. And the problem with that is that you used to be able to get away with that because there were limited options for people to choose from. But the way it is in the world today, if someone tunes away from you, they're probably going to tune into somebody else, and they might not come back. And that presents us a big challenge. And I've actually studied some of our listenership and membership charts that have appeared in the hallway here over the past couple of years. I kind of enjoy teasing out information, and what I noticed from that was that KBOO's membership, this one thing struck me as just, it spoke to so many things, but KBOO's membership was charted over, say, the past decade or so, and it was kind of, it was tapering off, and that was, let's say, starting in 1998 or so, and there was this very slow downward trend. And that's when, of course, the internet started to become more popular, and the TV options that were available started to expand a little bit. And so there goes some of your membership. But on that same chart, our listenership and membership peaked for the period during the Iraq War. And I thought, you know, that's not a good business model, to be waiting for things to go really bad to increase your audience. That's not a good way to operate, in my opinion. So my focus would be excellence in our technical delivery and highlighting the things that we offer that are unique and compelling and relevant to people's lives. There's a lot of that going on here, and I think part of the piece of the puzzle that I would bring would be, let's find those platforms that we can get this content out to people and expose what KBOO is doing. One of the other candidates, Raul, who was calling in from Amsterdam, he was either yesterday or Monday. It's too early for me even to know what today is. But he was mentioning, you know, he was calling from Amsterdam. And he was mentioning that, you know, there is a worldwide audience out there, and they will support us. And if we provide content that's relevant and compelling to people, and we do it with a continually raising our level of excellence in our delivery, people are going to support that. They want what we have to offer. Sometimes they need what we have to offer. And we just need to let them know that we're here. And, you know, a lot of consternation goes into financial issues around here. And I don't really think that financial issues are our main issue, our main focus. People support us. It's obvious the station has been here for, I think it's 46 years now, because the community understands what we're doing here, and they understand why it's necessary, and they support us. So I believe in the solid bedrock support that we have here. I think that's going to continue, and it's just a matter of getting us out there and letting people know, hey, we're here, and check out what we're doing.
Thanks, Jimmy. You're listening to KBOO Morning Talk Radio. I am your host, moderator this morning, SW Conser, speaking with two of the candidates for the KBOO Board of Directors, Jimmy Tardy and Kathleen O'Brien. And we are welcoming your calls at 503-231-8187. If you have a question for one of the candidates or both of the candidates, the number is 503-231-8187. And we have Jake on the line. Jake, you have a question for the candidates.
I do, yeah. Thanks for sharing all your ideas today. My question is, you know, regarding the finances and the specific roles of the board, how do you kind of take into account the white privilege or privilege that you have, whether it be, you know, being a member of certain communities, to impact policies and your decisions for marginalized voices or people of color or the folks who are maybe a little bit more less able to participate? And how does that kind of affect the policies or the voting or the involvement that you'll have and develop for the station?
Okay, let me see if I can boil this down. So you're asking about the finances of the station and how we include people who maybe aren't as financially able as some of the higher contributing members of the community?
Or just even the candidates, kind of how they will take into account their own white privilege or their own privilege to impact others, how that'll affect their voting for maybe something that doesn't affect them directly, but maybe would affect another community.
Okay, well, let's start with Jimmy this time. And Jimmy, what's your response to the caller?
Well, with all due respect to our caller, I'd like to say that you are assuming white privilege that may or may not be there. And I've been sort of had this issue in my face for the past 3 years because of being present at a variety of forums, whether they be marching in the street or at PSU at a well-organized conference, what have you. A broad range of ways to talk about this issue. And, you know, if you take it upon yourself to serve underserved voices, which is what KBOO does, I think that's a fantastic first step. And, you know, of course, my thinking about this whole issue will evolve over time, and I have to admit that considering ideas such as white privilege, even after growing up in the South, I didn't really ever think about that because nobody was talking about that. So I'm sort of new to all this, but I just want to say, if there is somebody who doesn't share an ethnicity with you, just doesn't share a gender with you, and yet they are still they're trying to help raise your voice, that says a lot in and of itself. And if they have the privilege and whatever is entailed in that privilege, and they decide to use the benefits of that privilege to try to benefit people who don't have that privilege, there's a lot of that that doesn't go on in this world. And I think it's really good to appreciate when people take what they've benefited from and try to pass it on and benefit others. We're not going to be ever perfect at representing anybody else's perspective or opinion, and we shouldn't ever try to represent anybody else's perspective or opinion. I think the simple step of trying to raise others' voices and trying to understand the limitations that we have in understanding where other people are coming from, I think that simple step is actually profound and extremely powerful. So I will just continue to support that type of effort and cheerlead those who spend their time and energy trying to give other people an opportunity to have a voice.
Thank you, Jimmy. So, Kathleen, issue of negotiating financial decisions in a board role while dealing with issues of underserved communities and white privilege.
Thanks, SW. Not just white privilege, but American privilege. And we do have an obligation in a role with a station like KBOO to get to know everybody and bring bring the underserved voices forward and louder. I'd like to say I lived in Asia for more than a year, and I studied Chinese. I speak Spanish. I speak a little bit of a few languages. So I've had the experience of not being a member of the dominant paradigm, and I'm sensitive to it. And when I meet people who are Cambodian or refugees from South America, Mexico, Asia, the world, you know, I want to get to know who that person is and how they think. And one of the reasons I chose to stay in China and study Chinese was because I specifically wanted to know if the Chinese language represents ideas and things and thought differently than English. And to my happiness, I discovered that it's not any different, even though it sounds so different and the written language is quite different. Humans are humans, and we're expressing the same fears, hopes, you know, expressions across most cultures, with some probable exceptions in, you know, the South Pacific Islands that are very locked into their own dynamic. But the modern world is much one world. My personal experience of that is to reach out, to take an interest in people, find out who they are, what their families are, what their background is. So I would use my own white privilege, if you're going to characterize it that way, to be a launching pad to reaching out more to people who aren't bestowed with privilege. I don't like the word privilege. It's an advantage, I guess, but we don't want to describe anyone as underprivileged. So privilege is the wrong word. How it would affect my policies and decision making are that it would tend to make me downplay the needs of the dominant community and reach out more to the underserved communities, because that is the mission of KBOO. And I agree with Jimmy. I like what Jimmy's saying. I think that we have the ability in the internet age to become a louder voice and reach more people, because Portland is sort of a social experiment for much of the world, how free we are here. And if KBOO can represent what is characteristic of Portland, and if we can become known for that, then we have the ability to reach more people and to lift more people up into our way of thinking.
Thank you, Kathleen. I believe our caller is still on the line. Jake, do you feel that your question was answered?
Yeah, I think so. I guess I didn't mean to specifically identify white privilege, but just kind of white privilege, gender privilege, socioeconomic privilege. And, you know, they both did a good job of answering of that. You know, KBOO does a good job of that. And I know that's a value of KBOO and is trying to expand on that. So my question was just kind of, how do you as a person address your own privilege when you're making decisions for other people who might not be the same color, the same gender, the same orientation, the same, you know, ethnic background or whatever, and think for them? So I think they did a good job of answering.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Jake. And again, the number, if you're calling in with a question for one of our board candidates, is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. So I'm going to ask both of the candidates. I'm going to start with Kathleen. So currently, There are 4 board seats available, and there's 10 people on the ballot, 10 names on the ballot. We've had 2 folks who have expressed an interest in no longer being candidates, Jay Thiemeyer and Richard Koenig. But there's 8 folks, 4 seats. So if you are not elected to the board of directors for this year, what's your next step? What do you think you'll do?
I think I'll approach KABU with the body of work I have for the Mini Mom tapes and see if I can get those on the air, because those are very valuable. As we conceived that project in 1989, it's before the internet, but it was when we were young moms, and we wanted to give parents the a mechanism to distract the child other than a television. So they are just very cheerful and helpful classic children's fairy tales with engineered by Bill Scream, a local talent, who won an Academy Award with Will Vinton. And so that's probably my next step, is approach KABU. Win or lose, I'll approach KABU with those recordings, because they should be distributed.
Thank you, Kathleen. Jimmy, so let's say you're not one of the folks who are chosen for the board of directors by the members. What's your next step?
My next step would probably be just to continue as I've been continuing. In the past 3 years, I in preparing for this, I sat down and I said, what all have I done here? And I put together a list that was not inclusive of everything, because I realized there was a couple things I left off, but I feel like I'm part of this community here at KABU, and you know, like I said, I'm privileged enough, if I may, to have benefited from what KABU brings, and so you know, I'll continue working the front desk, I'll continue board operating for the news, I'll continue producing shows, public affairs, my own show. I'll continue training. I'll continue doing tabling, remote producing, washing dishes, working on fundraisers, membership drive. I've been a everything, a phone answer, a pitcher, a supervisor. I'll just continue being part of what KABU's got going on here, because it really is, in my opinion, that important that it's worth my time coming down here and doing whatever I find needs to be done and I feel qualified to help out doing. So if being a member of the KABU board is not in my stars, you know, it's probably not going to really change much. I'm going to continue being part of KABU. KABU is awesome. I mean, it's not just the what goes out over the airwaves, but everything else that goes on here is really, really impressive. And just a pitch for people to come out and volunteer and become part of it. It's really worthwhile.
Thank you, Jimmy. We're talking with Kathleen O'Brien and Jimmy Tardy this morning, 2 of the candidates for the board of directors of the KABU Foundation. You're invited to call in at 503-231-8187 with your question for the candidates. I'm going to ask the fairy godmother question. Starting with Jimmy, fairy godmother or a genie in a lamp suddenly bestows a large sum of money, $100,000 or more, on KABU. What would you say would be the first and best use of that money for taking on projects that KABU is not currently doing?
Taking on project, whoa. What would we do that we're not currently doing? That is a tough question. So, I mean, I think I probably share a perspective with a lot of people here at KABU that we could use some equipment upgrades. Those would really help out a lot. Again, when you come in and you're pushing buttons and trying to operate things and they're just so worn out that they don't work anymore, no matter how many times the engineering department has tried to fix them and they're just done, that kind of gets in the way of your energy and being able to produce excellent programming. It really does, and sometimes it comes across on the air. So I think, you know, I would love if there was a giant pot of money and we could sink some of it into some of the equipment that we have around here. There's some things that are just gone. And then, you know, one of the things that I think we could, areas that we could step into that we're not doing a whole lot of is some of this really hard-hitting and very professional investigative reporting. There's a lot of stories that are out there in the world and they need a platform to be told. And we have the platform here. And if we could send people to places where things need to be over, you know, brought out from underneath a rock and exposed to the light, that would be pretty amazing. I would love, and I've actually submitted a proposal that didn't get accepted, but I would love to go to the Cook Islands and investigate this offshore banking and corporate world that exists there. That's a huge story. It's the story, if you ask me. And I would love to go there and ask some questions, but that takes money. Hey, that'd be great.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. So, Kathleen, the fairy godmother story, there's a magical six-figure surplus in the budget. And what could be done that KBOO is not currently doing?
Well, now you've changed it. Six figures, not 100,000. So there's some difference there.
Okay, low six figures, let's say.
Low six figures. Well, I think the principal use of those unexpected monies would be to reinvest in fundraising. That's what I think would be sustaining. And what's necessary is to raise the profile of KBOO. I participated in the KBOO event, A Touch of Portland, last weekend, and it was wonderful. But I think if we have more high-profile activities like that in the community, that it will attract more future contributors and potential members, and that's what KBOO needs, is to sponsor high-profile things. I mean, we're getting past the summer of Portland, so maybe there's a winter ball that needs to occur. So people need to do things in the dark days, too. I think it's a great example of a decision that needs to be made collaboratively by a board full of ideas and, you know, let the great ideas bubble up to the top.
Thank you, Kathleen. The number to call is 503-231-8187 with your questions for the candidates for KBOO's board. We're currently talking with Kathleen O'Brien and Jimmy Tardy today. We'll be talking with other candidates all week. And we do have a caller on the line. Francesca is on the line. Francesca, you have a question for Jimmy and Kathleen.
Yeah. My biggest concern is with fundraising and raising money for KBOO, and I wanted to see if either of the candidates would provide any sort of new strategy to, besides the three times a year, you know, fund drive, to making some real money. My two cents, I think it'd be maybe a little helpful if you guys rented like a Coinstar machine or something like that. That might help, but I'm talking, I mean, even crowdsourcing or it's like it's kind of getting pathetic the same way, you know, every time the fund drive comes on. So that I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you,
Francesca. So we'll start with Kathleen. Your ideas for alternative fundraising strategies for KBOO.
Well, thanks, Francesca. I think a Coinstar machine is really interesting idea. That's one of those machines that you put your spare change in.
I believe so. I believe that's the idea, yes.
Yeah, well, there's way too many coins sitting around all of our houses. So, yeah, we could do that. And if there's some way to legitimately exchange your deposits in a Coinstar machine for a ticket for a raffle, you know, to incentivize people to actually use it, that would probably bring in lots of dollars every day. It might be a good idea. Other ideas how to raise money. I think that the big events are the way to raise big money, whether you bring in a rock band or any kind of band that's willing to donate their time, or a motivational speaker who's maybe willing to donate their time. And then invite the public and, of course, splay the KBOO banners all over it. I think that's a real proven fundraising mechanism. I'm not sure that I've seen KBOO participate in that kind of way. And I agree with Francesca that the pitch for call in and make your pledge right now is something we've heard over and over on so many public radio stations, and it does tend to drag because you feel you're not being acknowledged. So,
thank you, Kathleen. So, Jimmy, your ideas for more financial fundraising strategies?
Yeah, I'd have to say that raising our profile is probably an important part of that, and that can come through, like I mentioned earlier, increasing our audience, whether we're finding different platforms through social media or the internet. But I think there's some untapped potential that we have here at KBOO. And, you know, we've had some crazy ideas that we've tossed around over the years when you get together with people and the creative juices are flowing. And, you know, one of the things that has kind of stuck with me is this idea of maybe why does KBOO not have a record label? Why does KBOO not do big, like, live music shows? I think those would be profile raisers, but I think that they would also prove to be financially beneficial to the station. We're regularly hosting live music in the studio, this studio that we're sitting in now, regularly playing live music on the air, and then it just sort of goes away. That potential could be tapped into. We have a platform for promoting live music right here that we're using right now, and we could turn that into some of these more high-profile type events that take what we're doing and offer it to people in maybe just a little bit different format, and see if people love live music here in Portland, man. I don't even need to say that. I think we should probably consider getting into some of that action.
Okay, I have a question from Anita. Let's make this the lightning round. Let's see if we can do a 30-second answer each. Anita wants to know about expanding KBOO's terrestrial coverage, which means sort of the broadcast signal footprint. Any ideas, Jimmy?
Low-power FM is a big topic right now, and one of the ways that we could tap into that, the easiest, would be to just work our network and make sure that people have the content that we're providing, and they could use that on their stations.
Yes, Anita, expanding KBOO's terrestrial coverage, broadcast coverage.
If it's equipment related, I don't really have the background to know what is needed there. I would look to the people who have those that knowledge. Expanding in the terrestrial social media world would be something that I can speak to. How we would do that, again, is raising the profile and creating a magnetic event so that people are drawn in and want to participate and want to become part of KBOO.
Okay, thank you, Kathleen. So we are talking again with board candidates Kathleen O'Brien and Jimmy Tardy. They are two of the folks running for the board of directors. We're also on the ballot are Raoul Van Hall, Jason Prettyboy, Jesse Sponberg, Sequoia Wright, Benjamin Magoon, and Melissa Parsons. On the ballot, but expressing an interest in no longer being on the ballot, are Jay Thiemeyer and Richard Koenig. We want to let everybody know that KBOO's annual meeting is coming up on Saturday, September 20th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Lotus Seed. That's located at 6 Northeast Tillamook, the corner of Williams and Tillamook. If you are a member and have not received a ballot, call Sun Lee at 503-231-8032 or email him at membership@kboo.org. Ballots should be mailed by Saturday, this Saturday, and can be dropped off at the ballot box at the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. That would be no later than next Thursday. You may cast your ballot at the annual meeting a week from Saturday until 2 p.m. And we're hoping that you're going to tune in Friday morning. Not tomorrow morning, Friday morning on Morning Talk Radio, 8 to 9 p.m. There will be two more candidates talking about their experience and their ideas for the KBOO Board of Directors. I want to thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm SW Conser, your host and moderator. And I want to thank Kathleen and Jimmy for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Conch.
Thank you, Conch. Thank you, KBOO.
And we also want to thank Steve for engineering today, Koosh, the studio dog, Lynn for helping out, and of course, Kathleen Stevenson, our news and public affairs director. We're going out to this morning, and we're going to head out to some political perspectives at 9. You're listening to KBOO.FM, KBOO 90.7 FM. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Please
and
vote.
Become a member. Yes, and vote.
Melting Pot Silent Mobile Dance Parties?
Silent dance. Doesn't sound very fun.
Actually, it's a lot of fun. Picture 200 people dancing with headphones to the same music. The Melting Pot radio show will have a series of silent dance parties from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesdays in Portland parks and public spaces. That's Tuesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. For more information and this week's location, go to kboo.fm/silent dance parties.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Cascade Media Convergence, Friday, September 19th through the 21st at the University of Oregon Turnbull Center, 70 Northwest Cooch Street in Portland. The goals of this Cascade Media Convergence are to create a space for media makers to network and share best practices, collectively learn skills, and lay the framework for continued collaboration and plant the seeds toward building a regional grassroots media coalition. There will be workshops, strategy sessions, and space and time for deeper discussions on all aspects of grassroots media. Again, that's the Cascade Media Convergence.